Are you feeling more anxious than ever before? Since March of 2020, Americans of all ages have acknowledged feeling down, depressed, or even hopeless. And a recent survey of college students found that 81% are experiencing anxiety. Mental health counseling practices are full and maintaining waiting lists. Dori Mages, a licensed clinical social worker, international speaker, best-selling author, and founder of North Shore Family Services, regularly shares practical tips to manage anxiety, improve communication, and increase social, emotional, and behavioral health on the Hannah and Fred Show. To book Dori Mages for your next speaking event or gathering in person, or even virtually, call 847-668-4295, extension 700, or visit DoriMages.com. And that said, we are thrilled to get to welcome Dori Mages onto our show right now. It's the Hannah and Fred Show here on WIMS. Dori, welcome back.
Hi, thanks so much. Good to see you guys again and hear from you.
Oh, it's a thrill, definitely. And I can't wait a second more to ask you this question. Kids are going back to school. Teachers are going back to school. Parents are letting their kids go back to school sometime for the first time since March of 2020. That's a stressful thing. The numbers are going up. How are we managing all of this anxiety and angst?
Absolutely. It's a stressful thing. I'm hearing it from a lot of our clients and our kids, even the parents. Mask mandates, are they going to be strict with it? Are they going to keep their kids safe? What do we do if somebody's not wearing a mask? How do we handle it? I'm hearing it from everywhere. One of the things that I give as advice is you can only control yourself. So make sure that you are doing things that you can keep yourself safe and got to learn. So finding ways that will help you and keep you focused on what you need to do. Best we can do right now.
So Dori, right now we're hearing that there are some kids that are saying, I'm not going to school. They're refusing to go to school. And as parents, we think that we're so smart and that we have a ton of resources and tricks in our bag that's going to either negotiate with our kids. What if your kid refuses to go to school? How do you start the process of making them comfortable so they get in that classroom?
Couple of ways that parents do this, as well as the schools. A lot of schools allow that visitation for the school, getting to walk through your class load, finding your schedule, see where your classroom is. In COVID times, they're having assigned appointments for kids so they can meet individually with the teacher. They're having shorter times. Just get there, go walk your schedule, make sure you know where you're going. A lot of kids haven't been at their school in a year and a half. Some kids have gone from an elementary school to a junior high. They haven't even walked in the door since 2 years ago. So being able to talk with the teacher, letting them know that your child has some fears and some worries about this. We've worked with school refusal for many years. And a lot of times your school social worker can be your best resource. I worked in the schools for many years, also many years ago. And they will meet your child at the door. They will help them navigate this. And they will work with the team of the teachers, the principal, the support staff to help your kids find what they need and get into the classroom if parents are willing to take them.
And if you look at, anxiety and depression, which is clearly an issue for kids lots of times, but during a pandemic, it even goes higher. Where are we? If you're reading it as a barometer, how high is it for kids right now? How stressed are they?
It's enormous. It's through the roof, I'd say, Fred. we've got waiting lists. I know that your ad talks about this. Every practice in the United States is pretty full with a waiting list right now. And so we see those intake numbers coming in, and it's probably 85 to 90% anxiety and worry about the pandemic and the result of what's going on right now in the world. And the kids are stressed, the parents are stressed, they don't know how to help their kids.
And when you meet with these kids, are you meeting with the kids alone or the kids and their parents? How does that all work?
In our practice, we like to make sure that parents have the skills that they need. So we're not just saying, oh, we did this in our session and now you're good to go, see you later. A lot of practices talk about confidentiality, which is important. We don't have to tell parents everything we talk about with our kids. But we can't do all the work in 45 minutes to an hour. We want the parents to know what we've worked on so they have those skills too. They're learning along with their kids. So at the very least, parents come in at the end of session to learn what we worked on and the kids can explain that to them. So it's not just coming from me. We understand that the kids know what they learn and can communicate that, and parents can get those tips as well.
And you're a parent. How did you gear your kids up for, oh my God, you know, we're going back into the classroom, and you're a clinical social worker. So they're like, oh, mom's a professional. Yeah. She can get us on lots of different ways. How did you do it?
All three of my kids are very different. So it's interesting to watch their different reactions too. My oldest is at Indiana University. She's studying math and econ and business. And she's on that side, not the social work side. And she's like, yeah, I want to get back in the classroom. I'm missing people. I want to be in my apartment and live my life. My middle one is in medical esthetician school. They just shut down their program because somebody contracted COVID. So they're doing it all via Zoom. Tell me how you're going to learn aesthetics that way. And my right. son's like, I just need to go in and see people. I learn better seeing people in person. I want to be there. And I, you know, got to wear a mask all day outside, 98 degrees. It's tough. But he's doing it because he wants to be there. So I think everybody's got a different sense of that. And yeah. we have to support them where they are and not use our own anxieties and propel our kids into that same round of anxiety.
So one of our listeners, Dory, is saying, ask Dory if this is long-lasting anxiety for these children, and if they don't resolve it or get past it, will it impact them as they move forward in their life? Good, pretty good question.
Yeah.
Really great question. I don't think anxiety is a bad thing. That's what I'll start with. Anxiety can propel you forward. If you get stuck in that anxiety and you just, you know, hide your head under the covers, say, I'm not going, I'm not doing anything, then you can gravitate to that anxiety. The work needs to be done. Sure, everybody's experiencing anxiety and stress right now. If that work is done, you can keep moving forward. If you just kind of live your life in doom and gloom, yeah, you're going to see everything through that lens. So I don't think there's any projection for anxiety for the rest of your life through this. Let's work through it. Let's not allow kids or adults to just get stuck in the woe is me. If it weren't for COVID, we would have this. If I didn't have this, we'd have this. We're in COVID. This is our reality. We talk about radical acceptance. It's a DBT skill. We'll talk about that another time. But radical acceptance is just, this is what we're dealt with. So how are we going to deal with it? It's not, I wish things were different. Yeah, we all do. What are we going to do about it? And let's give them those skills.
So the news, of course, we're hearing about COVID and Delta, and now we're also hearing about Afghanistan and attacks and service members. This is something that when we were all younger, our parents could just turn the news off or send us out of the room. There was a way, and I think made sense, to shelter the kids from some of this big stuff.
And there was no social media.
Well, exactly.
The same way that there is now. Right.
You could say, go outside and play, and I didn't have a device to take with me and look these things up. I mean, I've got kids that are learning how to properly research things, which is a great skill set. But then they come down and go, you said this was no big deal. And here, and they, you know, they show me a news article. I'm like, okay, how can we as parents better manage the stress that they're bringing onto themselves by trying to be better informed?
That's excellent. I think it's really important for parents to provide that information for kids in a age-appropriate way, if they need to know, or if they're hearing it, kind of like learning sex on the playground. You want to have them learn the fake stuff or the real stuff, and how do you want to present it to them in an age-appropriate way? So I think having that skill set for parents to understand what's going on and to be able to communicate it with their kids in a way that, okay, here's how we're keeping ourselves safe, right? We, you know, there are anxiety increases in kids around 5 to 7 years old. They're afraid to go into a room by themselves, monsters, all sorts of things. You know, somebody might burglarize our house, right? That is an age-appropriate level of anxiety, and it increases right at that time. So what we're giving them is, okay, well, how do we keep ourselves safe? We've got locks on our doors, right? Is there always somebody home with you, right? How do we call the police? How do we call an ambulance if we need to? Those kinds of things. And the likelihood that's going to happen right here in our home, in our space. So kind of easing those anxieties in a way that makes sense and have those open communications. You're starting that young. when the bigger things come up as teenagers, they'll have a resource, and you'll be it. You'll be that resource for them.
And there are going to be some kids and some parents who are going to feel like, if I have to go see Dori Magus and or social workers within your organization, that something is wrong with me. But Dori, you know better than anybody, that's not true. When people need help, especially mental health help, they need it, and you're the source to go to.
Absolutely. North Shore Family Services has counselors, family therapists, marriage therapists, social workers like myself. And we talk about how everybody needs help with something. And I think that stigma comes really more from the parents and the kids. I've had a teenager walk into my office, they're on the phone with their kids. They're like, their friend, I got to go. I'm at my therapist's office. And I look at them and I say, wait, you just told your friend this? Oh yeah, we all have therapists. We all talk about our therapists. Parent comes in to talk at the end of the session. They say, I'm sorry, I have to go. We're at the doctor. Whatever their comfort level is, I like to say that people who aren't getting that help are probably suffering more because they don't have that skills. They're not learning that.
Oh, Hannah, yeah. The cool thing is Dori Magus is going to be on with us every month to help kids, help parents through their anxiety, through whatever they need. So Dori Magus, founder of North Shore Family Service, our favorite social worker. We look forward to having you back again every month, but we'll see you in a month.
So DoriMagus.com, people. DoriMagus.com. You can do it online too. Thanks, Dori. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. A year ago, but we're just still checking each other out. Hey. Nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been